Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yes, yes, yes. It's really good to have you back to this big interview highlight show where we look at the first season of our podcast during 2015-16 and pick out themes where guests have spoken with particular passion or humour or interest, and we splice them together to give you a bigger picture of what the big interview has been bringing you over the last year and a half. Johan Cruyff is the single most important man in the history of professional football. As a player, coach, director of football, thinker, philosopher, nobody comes close. His influence spans generations and is responsible for a great deal of the era-defining football I've been watching at the Camp Nou over the past decade. So it was inevitable that the subject of the great man would be raised on the first season of The Big Interview. Coming up, you'll hear from David Moyes and Charlie Nicholas in a little section which we've called The Mystery of Cruyff's Shirt. This detective mystery surrounds the Celtic Ajax European Cup first round tie in 1982. It finished 2-2 in the first leg at Celtic Park and then 2-1 to Celtic in Amsterdam, a game in which Charlie Nicholas scored one of the goals of his career, albeit not as good as the one at Pittodrie for Aberdeen against Rangers. Header, Charlie, some goal. Moyes came on as a second half substitute in Amsterdam, but when the final whistle went, the real drama started. Everybody wanted Cruyff's shirt, but who would get their hands on it? How many of them were there? What did they smell like? Davey picks up the story, and then Charlie gives his different version of events. The final voice you'll hear is that of the great Jody Morris. We were on our way across London, fighting through traffic jams, to interview Jody on the day that Johan died. It was an emotional 24 hours, and it would have been remiss of me not to ask the former Chelsea midfielder about the influence of the Dutchman on his own football philosophy. At the time, I appreciated the response immensely. It gave me a little bit of calm and a little bit of happiness on a very sad day. That day's in the past. These words are about Johan in his prime. Enjoy. So that European Cup was 67, and for three of the next 5 or 6 years, it's Cruyff's Ajax who lifted it. Do you remember the anticipation? Do you remember Cruyff as on the pitch, the player, the briefings from Caesar? I'm asking this because I'm no shame in admitting I'm obsessed by Cruyff. Yeah. Cruyff, the elegance, the first footballer who really moved me, not Pelé, although I saw him in the World Cup on television in 70, but also a guy who's crafted out a philosophy at Barcelona, the club that I've been interested in and the city I've lived in for 12, 13 years. So I'm genuinely fascinated about just even the glancing... touching the hem of greatness, because you played against the legend himself.
We had Ajax in the European Cup, and I just got into the team. There was injuries, and I played at Parkhead. And I remember going up into the Ajax team then, Cruyff and Jesper Ols and Jan Molbe. But the first thing was, you know, Johan Cruyff being on the pitch. Johan Cruyff was one of my, like you've just said, one of my heroes as a footballer. I liked Platini, Cruyff, but Cruyff, when I get the opportunity to play against him. And if you remember those days, it was a European Cup and you could only wear jerseys 1 to 11. But everybody remembers Johan Cruyff only ever wore number 14. But in the European Cup, he had to wear 1 to 11. So we played the first leg and we drew 2 each. And I think Jesper Olsen nipped past me to make it 2 each of that. But it was a great game. And I remember, you know, it was a real nervous game. Mm-hmm. You know, 60,000 at Parkhead. You know what European nights are like at Celtic Park. It was sensational. And Ajax were a top team. So we went over to Ajax, and we won over in Ajax. I was substitute, came on with about 25 minutes to go, and I keep saying it, I think it was me and George McCluskey who came on, and George scored the winner. We both came on together, and at the end of the game, we've gone through, it's an incredible result. And, you know, we were into swap shirts, and at that time it was sort of swapped off the pitch. It wasn't like maybe nowadays where everybody's changing shirts. So I said, yeah, can I swap my shirt? And anyway, I get number 14 jersey back, and I'm saying, great. I'm going to tell everybody this is Johan Cruyff's shirt. But then it's 1-11. And it was one of these things I never thought much of until it was probably, for some people know, Danny Craney. Danny Craney was at Celtic, and for some reason he sent me the programme from the game that night, and I looked through it. Number 14 was Van Basten.
Really?
Number 14 was Van Basten Ajax that night. So I still have Van Basten's shirt in my house from that time, and I was nearly telling people it was a jersey of Cruyff, but I'm actually got to say I'm very happy to have Van Basten's as well.
That's not the worst piece of fortune, I must admit. So I'm going to start this podcast by asking you about a mystery, a detective mystery. And it's the mystery of Johan Cruyff's shirt. As a non-Celtic fan, one of the first performances of yours that really enraptured me was you not quite single-handedly putting Ajax, Johan Cruyff, playing for Ajax, out of Europe. But I believe our last podcast with David Moyes, and he made a grab for Johan Cruyff's shirt and didn't get near it. So who got it, you or George McCluskey, or who got Cruyff's shirt in 1982 when Ajax were knocked out of the European Cup?
I'll start the story with the format of who got it, and it was George Toby McCluskey. As you recall, I mean, he's my all-time favourite European player, Johan Cruyff too. When I was young and getting brought up in the Celtic tradition, which was about being creative, and or you went the other way, just physically you were trying to fit into a system, and I never really understood systems. I just wanted to play the way I seen people. So ultimate hero was Dalglish. And then overall, you look at the foreign players who, in the old days, in my concept, we only got, sometimes got the one draw. So you go home and away, and it could be Juventus, could be Ajax, could be somebody pretty easy. So the concept of Europe was, all you ever did was read about these guys in magazines. Mm-hmm. And Cruyff was the one that always caught my attention. Skinny, unpredictable, the Cruyff turn. I love footballers who have been, who have created something different in football. It makes me fall back in my chair and say, wow. You think sometimes it's a boyish, a stupid thing to still be in love with the game. I'm like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like everybody coming up to my restaurant and having to talk about football because I do it for a living. But when I talk about people like me who love the game so much, you do tend to fall back into your youth. But with that time with Cruyff, they absolutely battered us at Glasgow Celtic. And we drew 2-2 in the first leg. Cruyff was genius that night because he just came in and kept feeding it to Jesper Olsen. I was getting marked by Jan Mobe, later of Liverpool. Vandenberg was a big player at the time for them. And everything we did, we couldn't get to him quick enough. And Danny McGrain was, for me, the greatest Celtic player in my lifetime. Danny had started to say, we have to try and make inroads. So we got away from Glasgow at home 2-2, and we thought, it's never going to happen. And Billy McNeil wasn't a great tactician. A great man, Caesar himself. Yeah. But he simply said a few things to us going out at the old stadium in Amsterdam was, we're already out, so go for it. Why not go for it? And of course, I've scored and George McCluskey scores later on. But if you remember, Graham Sinclair was one of our guys and he had nailed Johan Cruyff on a few occasions. So Johan, because his age, eventually had enough. He couldn't take any more kicking.
At this stage, he's 37, 38,
isn't he? He's 37, 38. But I mean, Graham Sinclair was just specifically there to destroy him. And what a soft gentleman he is, actually, off the pitch. But he couldn't believe that he actually was getting the grace to behold one of the greatest of all time. Anyway, he nailed him. He gets taken off about 15, 20 minutes to go. And we sneak through. But as you go round the old inside of the stadium, Johan Cruyff is on a treatment table. Oh, yeah. And I went by and I heard Nicholas getting shouted. And I kind of paused. So I put my head back round and I just got, well played. You played really well. Congratulations. Good luck. The Ajax shirt came away. So I got the Ajax shirt and put it down my Celtic top and slowly went in. And I was probably last in, but this time most of the boys were in the shower. And of course, everybody's, who got it? Who got it? Who got it? And there was a few quiet. I was quiet. I ducked in my bag. Danny McGrain looked at me and went, And I went,
clocked that.
Like that, right, thumbs up, wink, thinking I've got it. And then, of course, when we got back to the hotel, George showed the number 14. And I opened mine's up just to clarify, and it was like 32 or something like that. It was just a known number. But it was just the fact that I got a word. He said a word was more than enough. That was worth 10 shots.
For him to seek you out and say, well played.
Well, I don't think he was seeking me out. I think it was just one of those moments when I'm by. And for him to acknowledge, and I think he was always, maybe this is part of the greatness of what I, and probably you love about Barcelona, we talk about humility, is that there is a way to lose. And the concept of how he's always had that. Mm-hmm. From then, I also always said to myself, I'll never ever admit, even if there's a better one, that there's a better one in him because of the way that he went about the business.
He is an extraordinary man. It's been a privilege of being over there, sent by UEFA, where when they were celebrating 50 years, I think, of the European Cup, they sent me to his house. We went in there, and amongst, it was about a 45-minute interview, and one of the things was he still contends, absolutely, that it wasn't any big deal to lose the World Cup final because it showed the world a brand of football that, because we didn't have wall-to-wall television then, there was no YouTube, no internet, that the world could learn about how that style was attractive, that people could copy it. Maybe he's kidding himself on, but all these years later, he still believed that the greater good of football had been served even by losing, which I think is an extraordinary statement. Like, you might have found somebody saying afterwards, we should have won, or Germany were lucky, or that, you know, the furore in the German press about the wives and our social before the final affected us, whatever. Pound for pound, he's the most important man football's ever had. If you think about him as a director, a coach, and a footballer, and I'm still impacted by him as much as you are now.
Mm-hmm. I still find him a fascination. Every documentary or anything comes on and I hear that he's on it, I have to listen. And going way back when they do the greatest teams ever now, and Ajax is on, and how his other teammates talk about him, that he's such a strong influence, even at 23, 24, he had a strong influence to say, no, we have to play this way, and I'll sacrifice something if I have to, but it has to be done for the right reasons. And to keep portraying that without ever winning the greatest prize ever, and to be so close to it. The European Cup at that time was as big as it probably ever was for any. Champions League is massive now, you know, but and a different financial package and everything. But for World Cup and for the way that the Dutch team had this philosophy that was changing the dynamics of European football, it was extraordinary.
There's a link I can't, before I let you stop talking, there's a link I can't ignore in that when people gave Pep and Xavi and Iniesta their chances at Football Club Barcelona, it was because of the Cruyff's philosophy. And although this won't go out close to Johan's death, he died this morning while we were both coming to this interview. And you mentioned the Dream Team, and I wondered what it is that we can say jointly about Cruyff and his impact on our lives as people who love football, and his team caught your eye, you know, as a youngster. What have we lost in Cruyff as far as you're concerned?
One thing's for certain is that we'll never lose his impact on what he's had that he's had on football, is because it will stay forever. I mean, when the football and the way teams play is so beautiful, if you like, that it will be, yes, there'll be different forms and it'll be slightly changed a little bit to suit individuals or to suit countries or whatever, but you can't help but think that as far as impacts on football and philosophies and people like that, people that I looked up to and people I read books on, when you're talking about your Guardiolas, it's in their DNA through your Cruyffs. And as I said, as much as he might have, I didn't see him as a player, I wasn't lucky enough to see him in the flesh, but I can still feel and have felt the influence of a Johan Cruyff and I'm a 37-year-old London boy, do you know what I mean? So it's like
there's something, yeah.
Yeah, he's reached the football world globally, and it's a sad day for football. But as I said, the lucky side of it that we have got is that Johan Cruyff will always live on, because you'll see it in some of the beautiful football that gets played.
Bloody hell, that's not just very poetic, but it's cheered me up. It's genuinely cheered me up. How much do you get in life that's completely free, reliable, regular, good for your sex life, and free? Yeah, the big interview. All of these, in their full form, and many more, are available if you search for the big interview on Acast, that's A-C-A-S-T, iTunes, or usually wherever you get your podcasts. The big interview,
was the idea of Backpage, and it's produced by them. Thanks to Beer Jacket for the music. Keep up to date with everything that we're doing at grahamhunter.tv, where there's a little box where you fill in your email address. And if you sign up there, you'll get our newsletter, which includes the opportunity to put your questions to our guests. We're on Facebook, search for The Big Interview, and GH Podcast on Twitter, plus Instagram. Keep in touch. Let us know what you think. More soon, baby.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.